Hey, so remind me, all right? We have been talking about what theme over the last few weeks? Gospel life. Good. That was a fast answer. You are on the ball. And what do we say gospel life means? Why do we call it gospel life? What's the whole point of that? Just because we want to be trendy and have cool bumper stickers, or why? Life of the gospel. That is correct. What, you know? Did you say no, you don't, or you do? All right. Guess. Your life about the gospel. Yes, that is true. Anything else that we could say about it? Any other details you guys remember? Why? The gospel is your life. Absolutely. We've been saying that every single week. Well, here's a question then. If we say the gospel is your life, what does that actually mean? What does that look like when the gospel's your life? What? You live for Jesus. Absolutely. What else? What does that mean, you're living for Jesus? Can you describe that? I don't know, because you're like doing some crazy Jedi mind trick with, I don't know. I'm ADD, and I was like, oh, what you doing? What does living for Jesus mean? What are some of the things that we mentioned over the last couple weeks about a gospel life or living for Jesus? You guys remember any of those things? Think about some stories that we looked at. We looked at the leper, how Jesus healed the leper. We looked at what else? What are some of the other things we saw?
Putting it into action and not just
Oh, yes. Putting it into action and actually living it out. Good. And that was definitely one of the points. What are some of the other stories that we saw? Cool things that Jesus did or his disciples. You guys remember? Yeah.
Put the guy down on the bed through the ceiling.
Yeah. When they healed the guy who was paralyzed.
Unending faith
To actually trust and believe he will do what he said? Yes. Awesome. Great. That's two good ones. Yeah. Oh, yes, good one. Matthew was just like, two words, I'm up, I'm going, Jesus, because you're really worth it. Great job. You guys remember a whole bunch of stuff. So we're going to continue, and I'm glad you brought up Matthew, because tonight we're going to look at the next kind of part of that. After Jesus is at this party, and he's with Matthew and all of these who else is there? The Florida Gators team? Huh? No, it'd be cool, though. The tax collectors and sinners, and Jesus is sitting there with them and who else? The disciples, specifically who?
Matthew.
Who do you think invited the tax collectors, right? In Matthew's house.
Matthew.
Well, they're in Matthew's house. Yeah, he was a tax collector. So they're probably his buddies from his old life, all his old tax collectors. So they're all sitting around with Jesus. And so now, this always happens, doesn't it? Like every story we've seen, what do you think happens next? Jesus is doing something awesome, so what happens? Yep, Debbie Downer comes along. The Pharisees, here they come to bring down the party. And what do you think they're saying about Jesus and what he is doing?
Awesome.
No, they're not saying he's so awesome. They're saying the opposite. They're like, Jesus, what is going on? Let's actually read it, and you guys can hear what they're actually saying here. We're in Mark chapter 2. We're still walking through the book of Mark, okay? Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Let's see what happens right after this party. You guys there? You looking? How many of you guys have Bibles tonight? Any Bibles? Oh, so, okay. Good. The leaders all have their Bibles. Good job, leaders. Maybe the students. Okay, there's a few electronic Bibles. Look, there are way. Let's have a competition next week and see if the 50 of you can outdo the 5 leaders that are in here with Bibles. I think you guys could do it. All right? Here we go. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Let's read it together. It says, now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they can't fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But the new wine is for fresh wineskins. All right, so Jesus starts to tell some stories, and if we don't look into why Jesus is talking about like patching up clothes and like putting grape juice or wine or whatever it is into these wineskins, like what is he talking about? Why is he telling all these crazy stories? Well, what do you guys think about this question, first of all, that he's being asked right at the beginning? You get these Pharisees, and they see Jesus at this party, and they're like, uh-oh, He's with tax collectors. And first of all, they didn't like that, right? They're like, why are you eating with sinners, Jesus? What do you guys think about that? What does a gospel life look like in this story, in this context? What do you think about Jesus eating with sinners? What are your thoughts? Chelsea?
Well, like you were saying about last week, you were saying not to like go in with a bunch of bad people by yourself, so you went with the disciples.
You definitely have to have accountability. Yeah, absolutely. Good. What else about it, though? Is it shocking to us that Jesus is sitting with sinners? Why not? Sometimes, don't you think, like, we try so hard to stay away from bad influences in our lives, which is a good thing. But at the same time, we think, oh, then why is Jesus around these guys? I can't hang out with people that do anything wrong or that aren't Christians, because if I hang out with those people or talk to those people, then uh-oh. You guys ever think that way? So maybe like when we look at Jesus, we're like, uh-oh, what is the Son of God doing eating, having a party with these sinners? What do you guys think about that? You think it was wrong for Jesus to be there? Why not? Why was he there? You know? Are you holding it in? Oh. Why was Jesus with these sinners? You know, Alex? Tell us.
Of course. What was the question?
Oh. Why do you think Jesus was sitting with the sinners? What was the point of that?
Because he was trying to get them to know that he was the Son of God.
Yeah. That's great, Alex. You did know. Look at that. And so Jesus isn't sitting with them to do all the things that they're doing. As a matter of fact, Jesus has accountability, right? He has his disciples with him. He's being wise about the way he's hanging out with these people. He doesn't just go hang out all by himself with all these people in the middle of all the stuff that they're doing and get caught up in all of it and start to do the same things they do. That's not the point of this. We should guard ourselves from that. But, okay, Jesus takes these disciples and goes where people need him. And you know that you guys carry, if you're believers in Jesus, exactly what unbelievers need? You guys have hope, the hope that only comes from Jesus. And you guys have salvation that they need. And some of them, the only way they'll ever know about it is if you take and tell them that. But how can you do that if you never talk to people that aren't saved? You see, so Jesus is sitting with these people because it's what he came to do. He says, I came to seek the people that are sick, because healthy people don't need doctors, right? And so then we get to the story, and now the Pharisees come back, and they're not just mad now that he was at the party. Now, he's like, uh-oh, you guys are eating. You guys are at a party. You're all like, we're all in a fast right now. Look what they say. It says, now John's disciples and the Pharisees were all fasting. Anybody know what John they're talking about here? Who's John's disciples? Yeah, buddy. John the Baptist, absolutely. And he was out preaching before Jesus came, right? What was John the Baptist preaching? Does anybody know? We looked at John the Baptist a couple weeks ago. What was his like? What was he preaching to everybody?
The gospel.
The gospel about this Jesus that was going to come, right? He hadn't come yet, but he was going to be coming. What was John wearing? You guys remember? What did he wear? Tuxedo? Camel skins, right? He was dressed kind of. And what did he eat?
The locusts.
Locusts. Did you know that one? What? And honey? The honey was probably really good, right?
No,
I'm just saying. I would like to try it. They have chocolate covered locusts over down at. No, they do. You guys haven't tried? You got to try that. Anyway. You never know. John the Baptist did it. So, you're right. Listen, I got you all pumped up about chocolate-covered locusts. John the Baptist was out preaching. Do you know that John the Baptist preached a message of repentance? Because Jesus wasn't like on the scene for a lot of what John was doing as the Messiah. So he's out saying, look, don't bow to me. Remember, he said, because someone else is coming, I'm not even worthy to bow down and like tie up his sandals for him. Like, this Messiah is on his way. So until then, be watchful, be ready, repent of your life. And it was all about fasting. John the Baptist was always fasting, which is why he ate these weird things too. Like, it's just all sorts of craziness that was like really good for John, because he was waiting for Jesus to still come. And he's teaching people how to repent and be in this like mourning and grieving over their sin so they would be sorry for it and look to Jesus. And so John's disciples often fasted. They did a lot of fasting and waiting for Jesus. Well, the Pharisees were a different story. They were fasting too here in this passage. Any ideas why you think they were fasting all the time? What were the Pharisees like?
They wanted to look awesome.
Yeah, they wanted to impress people a whole lot. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week. Twice a week. How many of you guys, when was the last time you've gone a whole day without food? Anybody? A whole day? Never. Never. No one in this room has ever gone a day without food.
Never.
Well, a couple. All right. So there's like two people in here that have done it. Now listen, these Pharisees, guys, these Pharisees twice a week, not because they were like trying to really get close to God and pray and focus on Christ. They were doing it pretty much so people would see them. We see this in a passage I'm going to show you. Matthew. I'm sorry. I already skipped a verse on Dave back there. Luke chapter 18 is where I'm going, Dave. I don't know if I even gave this to you. I did? Okay. Luke 18, 9 to 12. Listen to what these Pharisees would do, okay? It says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt." All right, here's the story. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector, which we already know. Everybody looks down on these tax collectors, right? And they think the Pharisee's like the hot dog around there. The Pharisee, standing by himself, so everybody would see him, goes off to the side, everybody, like, I'm all by myself here, prayed. And this is how he prayed. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here." He like points at the dude. "Oh no, what is he doing? I fast twice a week," he says. "All right, I give tithes of all that I get." So we see that these Pharisees have kind of developed this prideful attitude where they actually get corrected for it, and they're starting to do this fasting. Now, in the Old Testament, people fasted a lot, but it was only required to do it how many times a year, do you think?
Once.
Anyone know what day it was a requirement for them to fast in the Old Testament?
April
11th. Tuesday, Wednesday,
Thursday. Wait a minute. It's once a year now. You gave me like days of the week.
Easter, Wednesday.
On the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the day where they would, it was for forgiveness of sins. All right, atonement. I don't know what actual date it was. That's a great question. We can look into it, see when the actual date was that they did it. They had a different calendar, but. So this law said that they only had to fast once a year, but the Pharisees started to do a lot. Up to the point where they're like, twice a week we're going to do this, and we're not going to just do it. We're going to stand in the temple, and we're going to let everybody know we're fasting, and we're going to point at the people who aren't as good as us. And it became this ritual so everybody would see what they're doing. And it was no longer about this thing where they wanted to get with Jesus and like really lay their heart out before God and be like, I need to get closer to you, and I'm willing to put even food aside so I can focus on just you and I can pray. That's pretty awesome when it's done right. But these people started to turn it into this ritual. It was just for pride and to show other people. And John's disciples probably did it at this point just because they were really trying to do the right thing. But regardless of either side of this, they come up to Jesus. They're finding him in this party, and all of them are eating. And they're like, you know what? All of the other disciples today are fasting, and you guys aren't? Like you, who's like the great rabbi that's out healing everybody, doing all this stuff. You have thousands of people following you everywhere you go, and your disciples aren't following the fast when all of these others are. What's going on, Jesus? What's going down here that you guys could be sitting there eating, having a party when we're suffering out here being hungry? You're supposed to hold yourself to a higher standard. And so they get right in Jesus' face, and Jesus' answer is pretty awesome. First of all, do you guys know what fasting is before I get into Jesus' answer? What is fasting? Yeah, it could be like, in this case, it was not eating. You stop eating so that you could focus on Christ. But it could be from anything. You could fast from TV. You could fast from your friends that, you know, you just hang out with a whole lot and you need to take time to just be like, all right, I'm taking some time for Jesus. You can fast from a whole lot of different things that might get in the way and take up your time from focusing on Christ. And you use that time when you fast to actually focus on Christ and read the word and pray. Or else it's just kind of going hungry if you're not using it for the right reasons. So you could fast from a lot of things, but it's stopping to do something on purpose so that you can focus on Christ. And in this case, it was food. I remember when I was in Dubai with Fayez and Kim and little baby Adib, we were in there and we were walking around this mall. And as we're walking around, we go to get something to eat for lunch and we realize nothing's open. everywhere. And it's like the middle of the day, it's lunchtime, we're all starving, and we're walking around, and we see like thousands and thousands of people at this grocery store. And nobody was going into any of the cool stores, and all the restaurants were closed, and we're like, what is going on? And so as we're walking around, we're seeing these people like walk out of this grocery store with baskets full of food, like crazy food. But not one person we saw was eating. So we're like, this is weird. Let's go back to the hotel. When we get back to the hotel, the person like at the front desk sees Fias take out this water out of his bag. And he reaches out. He's like, no, stop. I was like, what? I'm just going to drink my water. He's like, no, you can't do that. He's like, why? He's like, it's Ramadan. And for the Muslims at that time of year, they were fasting. And when they fast, you weren't even allowed to drink water in public so that people could see you drink water, even if you're not a Muslim, because they call that tempting the Muslims, and you could be arrested for that. So you can't even drink water. We couldn't do anything. So basically, if we wanted to eat, we had to order food from the hotel, like room service, and they had to take it up these back stairs. They couldn't even bring it through the hallways so people would smell it and be tempted. And like it would come up to our room, and we had to eat it in private where no one could see us, or we could be arrested for it. They took it very, very serious. Now, this culture probably wasn't taking it quite that extreme that we're talking about here, but it's from the same part of the world. It's a lot of the same traditions. So I kind of imagine that they took this very seriously. So to find Jesus in public, in this guy's house, probably with all the doors wide open, a bunch of people there, and they're all sitting around laughing, eating, having a great time at this party, and everybody else in town, in this small little town, word goes around real quick, and you can just see out your window at what's going on in the next house, and they see Jesus over there eating his food, and all of his disciples sitting around eating with him, leading these sinners and tax collectors in this sin that they're doing, breaking the fast, in their mind, right? And so they are just not happy right now. What are you doing, Jesus? And then look at his response in verse 19. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they can't fast. What's a bridegroom? Anybody know?
Alex knows.
He knows everything.
Hi,
buddy. The guy who's getting married, all right, is the dude at the wedding, the groom, all right? And so when you're talking about a wedding, Jesus starts to use this example. When you're talking about a wedding, how cool would it be if Nick was the best man in Caleb's wedding, all right? And Caleb's getting married, and before the wedding, they have this big like party for Caleb. They're like, yay, dude, you're going to get married. This is awesome. And Nick goes to this thing, and they have all this food. He's like, no, I can't eat today. I have to just sit here quietly in the corner and just not talk and not celebrate, not enjoy any of this stuff. How do you think Caleb would feel about that at his party? He's about to get married and he's his best man. How do you think Caleb would feel?
Not good
at all. He's like, are you crazy? And probably hit him in the back of the head. You're eating, dude, and you're hanging out with us and you're having fun. You don't do that. Why? Why wouldn't you do that at a wedding? You're celebrating. That's the whole point. It's this awesome celebration. And why would they not? Like, they're together, they're hanging out, and he wants to celebrate with his best buddy. And Jesus is like, man, these people, these disciples that I have get something. They realize something. That the guest of honor is here among them. They don't have to sit back and fast. You know that a lot of times in the Old Testament, or these older times, they would fast after somebody died. So someone that they love would die, they would stop eating, and they would take that time to mourn and grieve. And so fasting was actually very tightly related to like a time of sadness. You'd fast, and you just think about what had happened, and you pray about it, and you ask God to like come in and give you peace. And so Jesus is saying here too, like, hey, listen, this isn't a time to be sad or somber or quiet. This is a time that you should be jumping up, shouting, celebrating, rejoicing. Why do you think they should be doing that right now? Maddie? Because the best news in the whole world had just arrived. What better time to celebrate this awesome news? And he's right there in front of them. And he's like, meanwhile, you guys are out fasting and doing all these religious traditions and following this law. And he's like, you're trying to do all this stuff, not realizing that the whole point of it is sitting right here in front of you. What do you need all those traditions for when you have the one that the traditions were written for in front of your face? Shake his hand, give him a hug, talk to him, eat with him, celebrate, rejoice with him. Actually be happy that he's here, right? And so these guys are too busy questioning him, like, what are you guys doing? How could you be eating right now? You know, it's funny because sometimes I feel like we can get stuck in these routines as believers. We can get stuck in things where we feel like, I got to go to church every week, and I got to do this every week, and I got to do that every week. And it's all about these things that I feel like I have to do to be a good Christian, when really the thing we should be celebrating the most is this awesome news. And these things stop becoming this obligation of things we feel like we have to do or don't have to do. And we just get to live out the Christian life or this gospel life. You know why? Because it's actually great news for us. And we can celebrate that this awesome Savior has done a work in us and saved us from hell and has allowed us to see God for all of eternity. That's exciting news, guys. And that's reason to celebrate. And so let's not get caught up in anything else. Anything else that we try to kind of replace Jesus with. And remember that He's the reason we celebrate. And so Jesus kind of gives him that little, quick little answer like, wow, you guys are missing the point completely. But then he really wants him to understand. Okay, he says in verse 20, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. And then they will fast in that day. He's looking forward to a couple things here. First of all, that what happens to Jesus eventually down this story here? He dies. They crucify him. And then he rises again, which is great news again, right? A reason to celebrate. And he goes to heaven and he builds a place for us. And in the meantime, this is a time to fast. I'm not trying to tell you that fasting is bad. So don't walk away from here going, Pastor Rob said that fasting is no good anymore. That's not what I'm saying. But here is what I'm saying, okay? There's a time for fasting. There's a time to maybe say, hey, listen, I need to like push some things aside in my life. Why? Why would I do that? Any ideas? To focus on this reason we should celebrate. So fasting now for us is this time where we can say, Christ, you are the guest of honor. You have given me life. You've given me freedom, and so I'm going to take these times not as some like thing to please you, but something just to rejoice and celebrate you and the things that you've done for me. And maybe for you, it's like, hey, I'm going to just do this because I really want to be serious with Christ, and I want to put action to my words, like Chelsea reminded us, part of the gospel life, actually putting action to your faith. Maybe for you, it's like, I'm just going to stop playing Nintendo for a week. I'm just going to try it, or whatever you play, all right? I'm going to put down the Kinect or the Xbox or whatever it is that you have in your house. Maybe some of you guys have Atari still, your granddad's Atari. You know, like, ding, 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 I don't know. But maybe you need to put that, oh, you guys have one. Yes, they're awesome. You guys don't even know what an Atari is. Google it later. But you know what it is? I don't know. Maybe it's TV. Maybe some of you guys watch some stuff that you're like, that does not bring me closer to Christ. I'm going to fast from that. And maybe some of you, it's like, hey, and I would talk to your parents before you fasted from food and actually talk to them about it. But maybe some of you will be led to like say, I'm not going to eat for a certain amount of time just to like get serious with Jesus. And like, talk to your parents about that before you do something like that. But listen, there are different ways you could do this. And maybe some of you tonight are being called to be like, I want to be serious about this guest of honor that is in my life, that's done this awesome work in my life, this bridegroom that's here. I want to celebrate with him. And I could fast to do that. So I'm not saying fasting's wrong. I'm just saying that in this situation, they were taking this ritual of fasting that was empty and exchanging that for the bridegroom, for the guest of honor that was right there in front of them. The whole reason for fasting in the first place, okay? So then he's like, all right, I really want you to understand this now, so I'm going to give you two examples. First of all, he says, no one takes this brand new little piece of cloth like this patch and puts it on an old piece of cloth. Why? Why wouldn't I do something like that? Anyone smarter than me? Because it would tear away. Why? Does anyone know why?
Because it's an old cloth.
Because it's an old cloth. And it rips, right? And the new cloth will actually shrink as it gets older. And since that old cloth is like old, like he said, and is weak, as it shrinks, what will it do? It'll just tear it. It's dumb to put an old cloth, I mean a new cloth on an old one, right? To patch it up. And then he says this, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins and the wine is destroyed. And so are the skins. But the new wine is for fresh wineskins. Now here's the deal. Wineskins were made out of like animal skin, right? Basically leather. You take like the leather of an, the skin of an animal, make leather out of it. So it's, anyone ever seen leather? Like a leather coat or like a couch or something like that? Okay, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You guys are like leather in a car. It probably wasn't that type of leather, but listen, it was like, I almost want to take your boot and hold it up like a wineskin, but I won't. All right, so it would be cool though. So they would take this thing and it would like, it would hold in the wine. So you'd pour the wine in it and then you'd like seal it up. And then as the wine, it's called fermenting, as it gets older, it would actually expand the liquid in it. Have you ever shaken a soda?
Yeah.
All right, what happens when you shake a soda? It gets really, really tight in there and it expands until finally, eventually, it could like just pop, right? And it'll break. Explode. Good, good word. And so same thing would happen when you put the wine in these skins. But if you have new leather, these new wine skins, that leather will actually stretch with the wine until it stops stretching and the wine stops going out, and then it'll be good. And it'll just sit until it's ready to be drank. But if you take new wine and you put it in leather that's already stretched out to its max, what will happen? It's going to pop because it's already stretched as far as it will go. And then you put new wine that's going to stretch it even more, and it's going to rip. It doesn't make any sense. So you put new wine in new wine skins so it can stretch together. What do you think Jesus is getting at with these two stories? Any ideas? Peyton knows now. Peyton, do you know? What do you think Jesus is trying to say by using these stories? That you think? DJ? All right, well, Maddie knows. Go ahead, Maddie. Combative? You're kind of, yeah? Did you have your hand up? You're thinking, I like that you're thinking. Yeah?
Is it that Jesus doesn't need to go and preach to the people that already know about him, but he needs to tell the people that don't know how?
All right, we saw that in an actual passage before, right? He said, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go preach to some people who haven't. I don't think that's quite what he's getting at, but that's a great answer.
Can we give a hint?
Can you have a hint? Okay. All right, let me think of a hint here. He's talking about something being new. Who do you think is new in this picture?
Jesus.
Jesus is new to this whole salvation thing, right? Kind of. Not really, because he is salvation. But anyway, to the scene here. And then what do you think is the old thing in this story? The old traditions and the laws and the things? So do you think, or you got it? Go ahead. Yeah, great. That's good. All right. I'm going to give you the microphone and you can finish the sermon for me. I know, that's okay. You already did. That's great. So listen, Jesus is getting this point across here, guys. He is new. He brings you new life. And as you have this new life inside of you, there's no reason to take all these old traditions and bog yourself down with trying to be legalistic and following all these rules and laws and things when you can just have the power of Christ in this new life and happily, joyfully celebrate Him and live for Him because it's not like laws anymore. It doesn't feel like some big pile of rules that you got to carry around on your shoulders because the house, the bridegroom is in your house. This guest of honor is here that you get to celebrate with as you live a life for Him. And he's like, so don't take all these old traditions and try to put them on Jesus because they're just going to break and tear. They'll never stand up to the power of Christ. He's come to fulfill that law and be the solution to it for us so that now we can completely depend on just Jesus and Jesus alone. All right? So if you guys are here tonight, the one thing I want you to take home is this. A gospel life is a life that leans completely and totally on Jesus and just Jesus alone. All right? Will you pray with me? Father, we do love you and we thank you that we can celebrate what Christ has done. Lord, you are the guest of honor in our lives, and I pray that we would be just rejoicing and celebrating that. And Father, that our lives would show it, not because we have to follow some tradition, but God, because you're that great and we love to celebrate you. And so I pray for these students, God, if there are students that don't know you, God, that they would see you and they would receive you and surrender and get saved. And Father, we just want to tell you tonight that we are so grateful for Jesus and for what he's done for us. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.